News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
It's 5 years since the COVID-19 lockdown. We're going to get details of new research from Mary Eye in just a moment that children born during the pandemic are struggling as they enter school. Academics surveyed more than 100 junior infant teachers in classes with 2,000 pupils in December, just gone. And they reported increases in behavioural problems, anxiety, more children unable to manage personal care. More than 80% of teachers who responded said there were more pupils with emotional or behavioural issues, while most agreed that classroom behaviour was worse and fewer children could sit and pay attention and take turns. The teachers say it has changed since the COVID-19 pandemic. Shane, you're not 100% convinced on this, are you?
I'm not in any way downplaying the impact that COVID had on our children. I think it had a huge, huge impact, and difficult to overstate. It had a big impact on all of us, particularly certain age groups, and I think particularly young people. I suppose where I'm a little perplexed by this one is we're talking about the class, basically kids who were born just immediately before or at the outset of the pandemic. And I'm kind of slightly sceptical as to how big an impact, say, the first 18 months of the pandemic would have had on an infant baby. I mean, at that age, the most important thing for an infant is to be with their mother or their father, to be with their parents. That is the most important thing. And if anything, you would imagine during lockdown that you would have had more of that. Now, you raised an interesting point earlier, and maybe there's something in this. Was there, you know, a constant low level of anxiety during that period?
That's it. But the household would have been under pressure. And children are like sponges. They absorb that pressure. And I wonder how much of that was a factor at play. Or else, could it be the obvious elephant in the room? They were loud access, and this is the first generation of toddlers that have had relatively unfettered access to screens and smartphones.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. It isn't just emotional and behavioural problems, you know, difficulty sitting and paying attention, missing their parents. You know, there's always going to be a few kids crying, but lots more in the early days of school. But also speech and language and communication difficulties, fine motor skills, not what they were.
But that
I don't think
common.
We can blame COVID on that, can
well,
we?
Well, that's common across a lot of children. I know from speaking to teachers in my own children's school that, you know, you have different children going at different paces in a way that hasn't happened before, that they normally would have had a kind of a collective intelligence when it came to things like put your coat on, the fine motor skills. There is a disparity in classrooms there, but a lot of listeners getting in contact not necessarily agreeing.
In relation to lockdowns, myself and my wife had two kids before lockdown, two during lockdown, currently it's 2, 4, 7 and 8, and they're all fine. Lockdowns were perfect for having kids, really. None of my kids know what COVID is. We all just got on with our lives as best we could.
Yeah, but you had four kids, so you had a 7 and 8 year old and a 4 and a 2 year old, as they are now. That would have meant that there were other children, so they were helping socialise. If you had an only child, two children.
I don't think a kid who's one needs socialisation. I think that's a bit of a
but
mix.
But they get socialisation from the other child, surely, that they learn.
I'm not sure they do learn how to interact. I think what they need is their parent. Another listener says, I wonder if there's any link to both parents having to work mostly full time and expensive childcare and rent mortgage. Then we were all told to get out and exercise, so gym, walking, etc. could be the result of more stressful, busy lives of parents and younger children. My children are older. I was at home for a few years. We managed fine on one wage, but I'm sure that's so easy now with the grocery, ESB, etc. increase. But this was lockdown. Parents were at home during lockdown. That's why I'm slightly puzzled by this, I have to say.
Let's talk to Dr. Patricia Byrne, who's a consultant child and adolescent psychiatrist. Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning.
The COVID was societally damaging, we know that. But on this particular cohort of younger children, the ones who are in junior and senior infants right now, can we explain why teachers are seeing this phenomenon?
So I suppose the first thing to do is to mention that a survey identifies potential areas of difference and helps us ask questions, as we're doing today, about why that might be there. So the survey itself doesn't give an answer, but there are certainly a number of areas that we can think about that may impact this, and the reason for these young children appearing to have more difficulties than other peers or children from previous times. So in order for children to develop, they need three things. They need optimal conditions to develop their own potential, so play and nurture. They need early identification and assessment of any developmental differences. And three, for those children who are having difficulties, they need early intervention for those difficulties.
Okay.
And for the now, group of children, they have had deficits in all of these areas for this particular cohort.
Yeah, I mean, just to dive into a little bit, 42% of teachers highlighted issues relating to children not being able to manage personal care, putting on your coat, using a knife and fork. Half of junior infant classes reported having three children or more in their class with an emotional or behavioural issue, that's 73%, a learning or intellectual difficulty, 52%, limited knowledge of the main language of instruction, 56%. I mean, there could be many reasons for that. It might not necessarily all be COVID.
No, it might not necessarily all be COVID. And I suppose if you have a half of people saying that they may have more, it may mean a half have similar or less. So it's unclear about how significant it is. However, we do know things that for young people or for children, the most important way for them to develop their skills, emotional, social, you know, fine motor skills is through play. And that is an ongoing piece. And these children had less opportunities to play with other young children, exactly as one of you was highlighting. That was an important part of doing that. So they had less opportunities to play with other children, less opportunities for early education. So that certainly means they were experienced less developmental opportunities than other young people. And potentially, although there was many parents were at home trying to work. So it's not the same as potentially being there to be able to play and develop
your
child.
Then you hand it over, look at the iPad, watch Peppa Pig for the next 2 hours on loop. How many of these things could have had an impact in a way that we haven't seen before? Because that is a unique element about this cohort. They have, as I said, unfettered access to screens.
Unfettered access to screens and a replacement of normal play with other children, with play with toys, is a huge area of concern for development for anybody involved in early childhood or childhood development. However, there are two other areas which I really want to highlight today, which are things that we can change and we can look at. It's really important that when a child has any early developmental difficulties, that these should be picked up early and assessed early. And one of the things that has happened for this cohort is that public health nursing their resources went right down. Many children did not get the developmental checks that they needed. And many parents, even when they had children that they identified concerns, have not been able to access early assessment or intervention. We currently have waitlists for years for primary care and for assessment of needs, whereas children who are struggling are not able to get either a full and comprehensive assessment or the intervention. And that has significantly impacted children who have been vulnerable, who have had difficulties.
I wonder, so could it be the case then, Patricia, that the first professional that these children are encountering is the teacher, is the person in the classroom who can observe things that perhaps a public health nurse might have picked up had there been more of them and more intervention?
Absolutely. And currently our teachers are not only teaching our children, but they're also facing a huge increase in experiences for children with additional needs. There is a shocking lack of resources of educational psychology supports going into school, and they are trying to meet the needs of many, many different children. Being a primary school teacher is a much more demanding task than it was 20 years ago, or certainly when I was a child at this stage. So what we need...
A lot of people are saying, typical teachers whinge and complain. I don't think they are. I think that they might very well be canaries in the coal mine here.
I think our teachers are seeing many things and many concerns, because it's often when these children go to school and they're expected to manage things and are playing with other children, that concerns can really be identified. So there's a number of things. Currently in our HSE, we have a pay and number strategy at the moment, where there is a cap on recruitment in the HSE, and the only area that's getting increased staffing are the acute hospitals, with ongoing detriment to community services. So public health nurses, primary care and disability services remain shockingly under-resourced, underfunded, with a detrimental impact on children who are having difficulties.
Okay, and obviously the knock-on effect as those children get older and they can't access those services. Dr. Patricia Brown, consultant child and adolescent psychiatrist, thanks for joining us on News Talk Breakfast.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.